Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Hope Summers Inman. Welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra, because you already know that because you are patrons and you support this podcast and we love you like we love mutants.
Heck yeah.
Okay, let's move on. We just did our Cyclops lesson. Let's talk about the best leaders of the X-Men. I have compiled a list.
Okay.
These are all people that have led the X-Men. None of the other, well, they might have led some of the other teams, but they've led the X-Men.
The X-Men.
And I want to hear whether you think they were, whether you think they were a good leader, whether you think they would be a bad leader, their strengths and weaknesses, just general conversation about the leader, their leadership qualities to leading the X-Men.
Cool. We can do that.
Now, all of these people, again, have led the X-Men. There's probably a couple surprises on here for you.
Okay.
Let's start off with one that was a surprise to me, Archangel. Now, how do you think Archangel would be as leader of the X-Men? Do you think they're a good leader,
terrible leader?
Why?
To me, I know there's a Stan Lee thing that if the character has an alliterative name, it's because they're one of his favorite characters, which means that Warren Worthington would be one of those. I don't really see what Warren really offers besides being a guy who can fly.
Money.
Right, but the X-Men are independently wealthy because of the Xaviers.
Oh, damn it.
You know, like, I like Angel or Archangel at times, but I don't really see him as the type to step up or to inspire the team. Now, I haven't read the story, so maybe he's amazing, but he seems like a not great, he seems like a second stringer to me, you know?
He's totally a second stringer. So let's move on to the next choice. Jean Grey. How do you feel as Jean Grey as leader of the X-Men? She has led the X-Men before.
She has. Disclosure, I don't like Jean Grey very much.
How dare you?
I know.
Says me.
Says so many people, in fact. Jean is interesting, though, because she's at a distinct advantage in that 95% of the X-Men characters are in love with her and would follow her to their deaths.
95? Try 101.
So
there's even some characters in other universes love Jean.
That's true. So that puts her at a distinct advantage. Like, she could definitely inspire blind loyalty.
Yeah.
But she also gets people killed. And kills people. And again, I don't really know if she's stable enough to make some of the harder decisions that would come her way. So
fair enough.
I don't think she'd be a great leader.
Interesting. I agree with you. Jean Grey, she most famously led the X-Men during the new X-Men storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And she was okay, but she wasn't, I don't know, she wasn't great. She doesn't, like, because to me, I feel the X-Men, they are a paramilitary team. Like, they've got to be a strike force.
You need a tactician at the at the head, for
sure. You got to have somebody that goes in and comes out quick. Kind of like the next person who's led the X-Men, Wolverine.
Yeah, I think Wolverine is a good leader for the X-Men. He has a ton of military training and service behind him, which comes and goes sort of depending on who's writing him and how much recall he has at any given time. He does have a lot of beef with a lot of the X-Men
around
him.
He's got a lot of beef. And he likes to eat beef, too.
Probably. Usually with Cyclops at any given moment, there's also beef going on there. But I think that in a moment of crisis, Wolverine is a good person to have in charge.
I actually completely disagree with you.
Get out of town.
I think Wolverine is a terrible leader of the X-Men, simply for the fact because it betrays the basic tenet
of Wolverine. You're right.
That he's supposed to be a loner.
Mm-hmm.
That he's supposed to be by himself. And him being the leader completely invalidates that.
Interesting.
All right, let's talk about somebody who has led the X-Men before, Magneto.
I don't like good guy Magneto.
Well, villain Magneto has led the team, too.
Right. That's true. I think Magneto is a good leader, like, from an intellectual point of view. Like, I think he's someone who can be cold and calculating.
He's
and
currently leading an X-Men team right now.
I know he is. I think I said that, too, on our Magneto episode, that I don't like him being on the X-Men. But I think he possesses the qualities that are good in a leader, but I don't want him to be the leader.
I love
Magneto
in charge of the X-Men. He is my second favorite leader behind somebody else that we'll talk about. But because one of my first exposures to Magneto was him leading the X-Men team in the Age of Apocalypse. And Age of Apocalypse,
oh, so that was your gateway, yeah.
Age of Apocalypse Magneto is awesome.
Yeah,
he's so cool. He's so, I actually like him better than regular universe Magneto, but he's in charge of the X-Men, and he's like almost a better X-Men leader than Charles Xavier.
Interesting.
So, like, I love Magneto in charge of the X-Men. Let's talk about somebody else. Havoc, the brother of Cyclops.
I like me some Havoc in charge of the X-Men. I do.
Why?
Because like Havoc, when he's, you know, when he's like actually Havoc, when he's not MacGyver Havoc, I'm really behind that. And I think that he has a lot to live up to with his brother being Scott. And I think that in the Marvel Now, when he was
Uncanny Avengers,
when he was leading Uncanny Avengers, I thought it was great to see him really step into his own and get to define himself as a leader outside of what Scott was involved with. And I just like Alex a lot. And it's great to see him be able to do something that defines him as an individual.
Also, fair point. In the Mutant X series that I talked about, the alternate reality mm-hmm. series, he is the leader of this team called the Six. And you also find out that in that universe, he was the leader of the X-Men for a long time. And he's actually great in that book. And
that's cool.
That's another book where they remove him from Cyclops. And because
it's hard not to look at that character and be like, you're just cheap Cyclops.
Yes.
But a good writer can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, here's a character that has led the X-Men that I bet you didn't know about. Nightcrawler.
I knew about that.
Nightcrawler also led the team Excalibur for a while.
Yeah, I think he was a better leader of Excalibur than of the X-Men.
He's a better leader of weird characters.
He is, because he's weird and he has these weird proclivities and he has these weird ethics. And I think it's tough to put a character like that in charge of your sweeping swath of hero guys.
Yes.
So I like him as a leader, but I don't like him as a leader of the X-Men.
Okay.
I would definitely like him in an Excalibur, X-Force, strike team, like a secondary, an auxiliary team.
Yeah. I miss that there's not an Excalibur title right now.
I would. Marvel, you can call me anytime. I would love.
Because I've always seen that should be like the Nightcrawler. For me, my perfect Excalibur team is like Nightcrawler in charge, mm-hmm. Captain Britain, Colossus, mm-hmm. Kitty Pryde.
Yes, Colossus. Yes, Kitty Pryde.
And then Magic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you could sprinkle in some of your other weirdo characters if you wanted.
Yeah.
But I think that a book like that could be your chance to do the weird stuff that you don't want to do in your X-Men proper book, whatever adjective you're putting in front of it at the time, because you need the X-Men books to be grounded a little bit.
Yes.
So if you want to do weird magic stuff and real like spacey stuff, you can do it there.
Yes.
And then Dupe can show up.
Let's talk about another character who's led the X-Men. Rogue.
I don't like Rogue at all.
Do you like
doing anything?
I'm going to put this out
ever.
There. Do you like any female X-Men character? No, regular X-Men team character.
I love Kitty Pryde.
Okay, Kitty Pryde, yeah.
Jean Grey and Rogue are like my two. And they're the two kind of...
Do you like Storm?
I like Storm.
Do you
I
like
think Storm has,
Psylocke?
I do like Psylocke.
I'm just going to name some female characters.
I like all of Scott's daughters.
Oh, so you like Rachel Gray and Hope Summers and
my perfect of all of them, like my perfect redheaded psychic, is
I'm
Hope.
I'm surprised you like Rachel Gray. It's interesting.
I do. She's kind of bitchy, but I like that about her.
Yeah.
I think I put her or Hope on my X-Men team.
Yeah,
when we
know.
Did that. I don't remember.
Go check the
Someone's
going to
tell me in the comments yep. section. I really just don't like Jean and I don't like Rogue because I feel like they're two characters that I'm told a lot about how special and how unique they are. And to me, they just seem terrible the entire time.
Yeah. For me, the most important thing Jean Grey did was die.
Right. And then like Rogue is useless because unless she can touch someone who's useful, she's so what?
See, I like a lot of... I actually... think the best version of Rogue is the Age of Apocalypse Rogue, where she's the wife of Magneto, and she's the she's the other team leader. There's two X-Men teams. Mm-hmm. Magneto leads one, and Rogue leads one, and Rogue's amazing in that storyline.
But she's mostly just like a sulky mess, and then like with weird Southernism. So like I don't care. So no, I don't want Rogue in any of my X-Men books ever.
All right, let's talk about the lady with the mohawk, Storm, current leader of the X-Men.
Yes, I think Storm can be a really great leader of the mm-hmm. X-Men. I think she's a character who's had a tough go of it. I think she has as many, if not more, bad stories than good stories.
True.
But her as a goddess, and if not a goddess, then as like often the head of leader of a tribe. And then I guess if you want to go like leader of the Morlocks as well.
Yeah, sort of.
She is a person who people want to follow.
Yep.
So why not let her follow? She has an inherent maturity that not a lot of the other X-Men characters, they write her older than she is a lot.
Yeah.
She always seems sort of otherworldly. And I love the idea of like an African goddess being in charge of the X-Men mm-hmm. because they're about like outsiders. So I think that's like a profound, beautiful idea.
Cool. All right. Let's get to the original leader of the X-Men, Professor X. How do you think Professor X does as leader of the team? He led the team for almost 15 years.
I think Professor X is a better headmaster of the school and advocate to the public than leader of the X-Men.
Why?
Because he'll pretty much let everybody die except Jean Grey. He'll sacrifice anyone if it serves the greater good.
Especially in that you learn that Krakoa storyline.
Uh-huh.
Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And then you find out that there was another team that went ahead of the new X-Men team.
Yeah. So he's a little heartless. We've changed. That's something that's changed through retcons, and that's definitely something that's changed through television and film adaptations.
That he's become heartless?
No, he's become more heartfelt. He's become more of a guardian. I think he's become softer.
Well, it's a lot of it.
Also because it's Patrick
Stewart.
It's
Patrick Stewart, and how can you not love Patrick Stewart? But no, there is so many storylines where Professor X just basically lies to the team.
Yeah, and he'll just send them off and be like, do this thing, and like they just have to do it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like your Dumbledore observation from a little while ago.
Yeah, sure. And then finally, let's talk about the main man, guy with the big X on his face, Cyclops.
He's the best leader of the X-Men.
Why?
Scott, I think, is the best leader of the X-Men because he was the first. He's the most entrenched in the mythology, more than Xavier, because it defines him. He is defined by being an X-man, an X-person, whatever. And I think because he grew up with this team for his whole life, basically, he cares a lot more about them. He won't sacrifice people heartlessly. And he's, even though he's a passionate, emotional character, he's less driven by that than characters like Wolverine or Storm. So I think that when it comes to making hard decisions, he can do that as well.
Yeah.
And plus, he looks like your traditional superhero leader. So when you put him in the center of a cover, it's a compelling image.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just like him in charge. He should be in charge.
Well, I think, too, that he's the living embodiment of the dream.
He is.
And I know a lot of people aren't big fans of Cyclops because they see him as, like, white bread or whatever. But it's interesting because, like, you know right off the bat that the X-Men can never complete their premise.
They can never win.
They can never win because then it invalidates the X-Men.
It's like Batman.
And so it becomes, like, a lot of people I know, like, don't like the military aspect of Scott when Scott was like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. I don't care. But I actually kind of like that because then
the autonomy of that.
Well, I like that he just became this character where he was like, I'm going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, because as in terms of a writer, you can only write a Scott who just accepts things the way they are, mm-hmm, for so long until you're just like, no, this guy would start getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
And he would start being like, becoming no nonsense and just being like, I'm gonna do this and I don't care.
Yeah, and you're gonna come along or you're not.
And if you either come along with me or bye. Like, I'm not gonna kill you for not coming along with me.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be Magneto.
Definitely not.
But I'm doing this thing and I don't care if you like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like in Avengers versus X-Men and in Utopia, where he's just like, mutants are gonna do this. I don't care what you think, government.
Yeah, now we're not part of the US, so there. Ha ha.
Bye.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
You know. And we're, you know, and so it's interesting. I think the most fascinating thing about Cyclops is that when he grows up, he basically becomes half Magneto, half Xavier. Because he's like,
oh, he's a child of gay parents.
Yeah. Well, it's because if you look at the Utopia storyline, he's like, okay, I don't care about you, government. We're going to put this island. We're going to be our own sovereign nation.
That's a very Magneto move.
Very Magneto move. But he flips it with, our borders are open for any mutant.
Mm-hmm.
Hero or villain, mm-hmm, come live here. And I remember that becomes a storyline because I think, if I remember right, some villains show up.
Yes, they do.
And some of the X-Men are like, what the hell, Scott? And he's like, our borders are open.
Doesn't it also extend to like people seeking refuge? So like, there are humans or there's like Avengers or something who come there to seek sanctuary.
I don't know if there is a storyline, I think, about a convict seeking sanctuary there,
that might
or
be
applying
it
for asylum there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if I remember right, I'm probably remembering this wrong, I want to say Scott grants him the asylum,
mm-hmm,
but then jails him on,
yes,
the island.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, you can stay here, but you're still a criminal.
Yeah, yeah, you're, yeah, still, yeah, a criminal.
I think you're right. But yeah, so like he does this very extreme move, but he's still like, but we're going to be like peaceful in our rebellion.
Yes. Now, I want to ask you this very quickly. How do you feel about Scott being the killer of Professor X?
It doesn't bother me the way it seems to bother some people.
Why?
It doesn't bother me because from a dramatic storytelling standpoint, to make him kill his father is interesting storytelling. It gives Scott a really interesting story that comes after that. Like, I love Scott in basically post Marvel now. I really enjoy that. I also don't mind it because it wasn't really Scott.
It was Dark Phoenix.
So like, if you're going to lay that at the foot of Cyclops and you're going to be all like bitchy about it because of him, then like, you just don't like Cyclops.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that like, that's an unfair thing. And then I don't know. I feel like it was an earned moment. It didn't feel cheap. It didn't come out of nowhere.
I actually think it's the best moment in that miniseries, Avengers vs. X-Men.
I think that's a terrible miniseries.
I agree with you.
So,
which is why I'm saying that is the best moment.
Yeah. But that's one of the moments where it really works.
Yes.
So it does. Yeah. It doesn't bother me.
I'm with you too, because if we can get over Jean Grey vaporizing a planet,
right?
And I don't care what you can tell me. Till the cows come home. Well, that was the Phoenix. That wasn't Jean Grey.
Jean Grey is the Phoenix.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
At the time of the writing of that storyline, it was Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And a writer 10 years down the road
retconned it.
That was Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And everybody was fine with Jean Grey doing it. And by the way, in that, I agree with you. I hate Avengers versus X-Men.
I hate it so much.
To me,
if anyone likes it, I'm glad for you.
Hey, that's fine.
Totally great. Like,
but to me, the Avengers are dicks in it.
They are. They're massive
and
dicks.
The entire
they are like the Iron Man of Civil War.
Yeah,
in that.
The entire time, I'm on the X-Men side. I'm like, the X-Men are on the right here. Captain America, chill the fuck
completely.
Out. Yeah. So like. And I just don't understand Professor X being like, no, Scott's gone too far.
No, they only did that because they knew they were setting up his death from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I also think the reason why I don't like Avengers vs. X-Men is because if you look, it's a written by committee storyline,
because
there's four different writers and different writers wrote each different issue. So that's
you
why
can tell, I think.
Well, it has such an uneven tone. But anyways, this is not we hate the Avengers vs. X-Men. This is the best leaders of X-Men. I agree with you. Cyclops is great. Guys, this is it for Geekers Lesson Extra. Thank you so much for your support out there. I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And keep on keeping on, my mutant friends.